me read Ephesians 6, Alistair's passage for today. So Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, actually. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. If I haven't wished you a Happy New Year, it's good to be able to say that to a few hundred people at once, isn't it? And we have the verse for you here, which I'd like to preach on this morning. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. On New Year's Eve, I was took an hour or so out, and I just journaled all the different things that had happened in 2019, and it was a really full year, a really fruitful year, but a real full-on year. And then I started to thank God for all that had happened, and I also remembered the times in 2019 when I said to the Lord, I can't do this. Have you ever said that? I can't do this. And sometimes you're in a situation where you're in the right place, but you feel overwhelmed by what you are doing. And then you look back 2 weeks later and you see that the Lord has given you the strength to be able to do it. And I remembered in 2014 when, as a family, we were moving from Billericay in Essex up here to Inverness. And we had purchased a house which had fallen through, and we were looking for another house. And I was in the bank, and I was opening a children's account. And the bank manager said, do you think about God? And immediately I thought, what a wonderful opportunity for me to share the hope that is in me. But little did I know that that was God's plan to enable us to buy this house, because this house here fell through 48 hours before we moved in. And this man who said, do you think about God, was the person that sorted it all out, and we went in on time. And so I remembered my conversations with him in Costa Coffee and how he said, I don't go to church, but my mother prays for me. And every new year, I don't go out celebrating. I stay in and I pray to God for the year coming up that God would I don't know quite what he prayed, but he committed each year to God, even though he was not a churchgoer. He was not a man of faith. And I was thinking about him. And so I sent him a text message on New Year's Eve, and I thanked him because sometimes life moves on and you forget to go back and tell people the difference they have made in your life. So I told him, this is what happened next. After I said to you, phone the solicitor and give them the position of the bank. I don't think I went back to him and tell him the whole story. So I told him, and I told him about how God has blessed us as a family and how grateful we are to be here in Inverness and to be in this church. And he said, he got back to me, he said, you won't believe just how timely that text was because I've had a really, really hard year. And your text has come to encourage me just when I needed that encouragement. So whether you are a person of faith this morning or a person exploring faith, I want to say to you, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. You cannot do it on your own. There's things that we are good at. There's things that we can do on our own. But the one thing we cannot do is God's work on our own. Because it's spiritual work. We cannot grow in God on our own. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So the question at the beginning of the new year is this going to be a year where you're going to bear fruit that will last forever and ever and ever? Eternal fruit. If that's your goal for this year, you must pray. Because without prayer, you will have no power. And without power, there will be no... Without power, you will be overpowered. You will be overpowered if you don't have God's power. Because the truth is that we have an enemy. We are in a spiritual battle. And we're going to say a lot about that over the next 2 or 3 weeks. I'm very passionate about this. Because, as I was saying to our elders this week, prayer is like an oxygen mask. When we gathered for prayer this week, I said, it's like an oxygen mask. And imagine doing ministry without your oxygen mask on. But you know, when you're on the aeroplane and the steward's doing all the stuff about the exits and everything, and then she says, you know, when the oxygen masks come down, make sure you put your own oxygen mask on before you put it on the children. And as someone like you who's involved in spiritual work and wanting to help people to find faith, for help people to grow in God, I need to remember that the most important thing that I can do is to put my oxygen mask on before I attempt to help anyone else this year. Otherwise, everything I do will have a hollowness, a shallowness, a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. It won't have the hallmark of Christ and His love and His power of the Spirit. Because we're all human, aren't we? We're human. Why do we need the power of the Lord? Because we're human. Because human beings are not God. That sounds so obvious, but if you try to do God's work for God but not with God, then you're trying to be God. But we're human. We're not God. We're supposed to draw our strength from God. We're supposed to draw our wisdom from God. We're supposed to take our instructions from God. But we know that from the very beginning of time, there was an enemy there, the devil. We read about this in Genesis chapter 2. And Adam and Eve, they took the fruit. They overstepped the boundary. Because they wanted to be like God. They didn't want to depend on God. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to live independent from Him. And they were banished from the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, life has been a struggle. It's been a struggle to work. It's been a struggle to have family life. We see that all the way through Genesis. It's been a struggle to pray. Do you find it hard to pray? I find it hard to pray. Do you find it hard to pray? Why is it hard to pray? Because we've been banished from the Garden of Eden. The struggle we find in our prayer lives is an echo from the fact that we're not living in the Garden of Eden, where we could talk openly with God, where there was no sin barrier in the way. Because we now have the indwelling sin in our lives, we don't have that same fluency of relationship with God. But Jesus came and He died on the cross for us, didn't He? And can it be that I should gain an appreciation of what God has done in sending His Son to die on the cross for me and for you? His grace, His gift, His love overflowing. And because of His wonderful grace, His substitutionary death on the cross, taking the punishment in our place, we can be reconciled to Him. And nothing can separate us from His love. So how can we say, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power? Because He's with us. As a Christian this morning, He's with us. For the Lord our God is with us. He's with you in 2020. And every day He wants you to acknowledge that and to pray to Him. We have a tendency to do things in our own strength, don't we? Let's not do that. Let's not do that. It's so foolish. It's very short term. If we look at this passage in Ephesians 6, we're going to take a few weeks to look at it, but verse 10 this morning is what we're focusing on. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That is the big principle. And then in verses 13 to 17, we're commanded to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the enemy. But verse 18 tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That command to pray in the Spirit is not an additional piece of the armor we are to put on. It is the way that we put the armor on. We have from God everything we need already. But we need to realize it every day. We need to pray on that armor. I quite often do it before I get out of bed. Protected from the minute my feet touch the floor. It doesn't take long, but it's good. You know this old hymn, folks? Some of you will. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through His eternal Son, strong in the Lord of hosts and in His mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts and is more than conqueror. Keep your armor bright. Attend with constant care. Still walking in your captain's sight and watching unto prayer. It's by prayer that we look after what God has given to us. It's a stunning insight, not my insight, I learnt it a couple of months ago, that the verse 18 is not an additional piece of the armor. It is the way in which we put the armor on. Even Jesus said to Peter, he said, Satan is out to get you, Peter, but I have prayed for you. Don't be complacent. But don't be fearful either. This is a very confident and triumphant letter. I want to make three brief points in the knowledge that I'll be able to come back to them in future weeks. The first point is that we need to realize and resist the power of the enemy. To realize and resist the power of the enemy. The second point is to realize and receive the power of the Lord. And the last point is how do we do that? Because it's so vital to realize that we have a spiritual enemy. The year was 1989. I'd been a Christian for a short time, and my best friend at university, I invited him to a service at church in Rose Street. It was a service where there was an evangelist coming to speak, and I wanted my friend to hear the gospel. I wanted my friend to have the joy that I had. And as I sat in my seat, I was surprised. I was not sure when the evangelist opened up from Acts chapter 19 and he preached on the Apostle Paul preaching in the town of Ephesus in western Turkey, which was a world center for the religion of Diana. It was an occult center. And as people turned to the Lord after the preaching of the gospel by the Apostle Paul, they made a bonfire and they burned their scrolls. And all the dodgy books were put to the fire. And I'm sitting there going, my friend, he's not going to understand any of this. Why didn't we just have a simple message about the central message of the gospel? And then I looked around and my friend wasn't there anymore. He was gone. And I went, oh, that's done it now. Now he's gone. The next day, went into college. He says, I became a Christian last night. I said, where did you go? He says, I was walking up and down Princes Street, crying my eyes out. And confessing my sins to God. And then he said, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the devil. And 1 month later, as we went to meet one of the elders in the church who was helping us, I remember my friend saying, I believe in the devil now. Because he'd had such a rough month. And sometimes when we become Christians, people don't tell us that we are a target. Who is Satan? He was created by God, one of the most special beings in the universe. But he, in his pride and in his independence, he wanted to be like God. And he wanted to take God's place. And he was cast out of heaven, and Revelation 12 tells us that that when he was cast out of heaven, he took other angels with him, fallen angels. And so the devil has got many angels working with him, fallen angels, demons. The devil is the most powerful being in the universe after God. He has succeeded in defeating every human being apart from Jesus Christ. All the heroes of the faith, Abraham, Moses, David, Peter, all defeated by the devil. But not ultimately defeated, because Jesus, when he died on the cross, he disarmed the devil. He won a great victory over the devil. He reversed the curse of Eden. No longer banished from God's presence, but restored into God's presence through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through his resurrection on the third day. We mustn't fear him, but we must respect our enemy. He's powerful. Look at the book of Job. Look at how there was lightning bolts. Look at how there was physical affliction. It's in the Bible. But we also see his limitations. He is not omnipresent. We see his limitations, that he is on the chain, as it were. He's the mad dog that's on the chain, but God's got hold of the chain. You ever been in a situation where, I know we've got some postmen here today, but you know, when you're going up to a house and there's a kind of crazy dog and you're really hoping that it's on the chain. Well, the devil is on the chain. He can do nothing without God's sovereignty. God is completely opposed to the devil's work. He has defeated him on the cross. He will destroy him. His fate is sealed. He has strategies. He has schemes. His schemes are to listen to these words. They all start with D, and they're very familiar if you're a Christian. He deceives. He distracts. He divides. And he seeks to destroy. Jesus said to Peter, when you have turned back after you have fallen, I've prayed for you, Peter. You're so cocky, but you're going to deny me three times. But when you turn back, would you strengthen your brothers? And praise be to God, Peter turned back. He repented. And then Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion prowling around seeking those to devour. Be alert. Realize and resist. But realize, brothers and sisters, more than that, that we have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. That the word finally in this verse wants us to look back to earlier chapters. First to draw your attention to is chapter 1, where it says, the Apostle Paul says, I pray that you would realize that the incomparably great power of the Lord, the Creator, Redeemer, God, who sent his Son, who raised him from the dead on the third day. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Death reversed. Death reversed. What is the biggest problem in life? Death reversed. He rose again on the third day. And he raised Jesus to life and put him at the highest point, the name above all other names, Ephesians 1, verse 19. And God placed everything under his feet. In chapter 3, Paul prays that you may, out of the glorious riches of God, be strengthened. Do you need to be strengthened this morning? Do you need to be strengthened this morning? Where do you need to be strengthened today? Do you need to be strengthened in your faith today? Do you need to go on the Alpha course? Come on the Alpha course. Even if you're a Christian and you're just not sure anymore, come. Come and have your faith strengthened. Particularly come if you don't know that you are a friend of God. If you've got loads of questions, come. God wants to strengthen you. He's got an amazing resources. We lived in Northumberland, and there was this massive man-made lake. It was a lake, not a loch, because it was England. And it was massive. It was called Kielderwater. And imagine putting a cup of water into Kielderwater. It just wouldn't make a difference. You could just put some... How long would you be there for with that cup? Well, that's what God's glorious riches are like, the power of God. And Paul is saying that as a believer, that you would know the resources that are at your disposal when you get up in the morning, that be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. And you go into that day and you don't ask to be resourced. Wow, that is complacency, big style. And we've all done it. And how foolish we are. But you know that hymn we sang earlier? When our earthly resources are running out, God's heavenly resources have only just begun. And doesn't God love to hear us say, help! What a great prayer. Help! Help! When's the last time you prayed like that? How have you gone into 2020? Have you committed the year to God? Have you? Have you done it yet? You've got an enemy. He's going to overpower you. But you've got a Lord that's died for you, and he longs to pour his grace and his power into your life every day. How do we do that? How do we appropriate the Lord's strength on a daily basis? First thing we need to do is we need to submit, because this is a command. Put on the full armor of God. It's a command. Like all God's commands, if we disobey, we will not enter into the blessing. It says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Lord is looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. There's a particular strength that comes from obeying the Lord's commands. Not trusting in the Lord with our own ideas, but trusting in the Lord with all our heart, leaning not on our own understanding. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Obey him. For God is at work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Resist the devil in the Lord's strength, not your own, by putting on that armor. And we're going to learn what that is. Stand firm. Sometimes we think we need to do lots of stuff. Sometimes we just need to hold our position and pray And that's particularly true with some of the problems which are just so difficult in life, where we don't have clear answers. We just need to stand firm, not give up, not lose faith, and pray. Hold your position. And finally, we need to serve him without fear. We get that from Paul's last request. Pray also for me. I'm not ashamed to beg you this morning to pray for me. How much I need your prayers as your pastor. But would you ask someone to pray for you this year? Jonathan went to David and helped him to find his strength in God. 2 Samuel. Jonathan went to David and helped him find strength in God. And then a few months later, David was just in this awful situation where even his men wanted to stone him. And then the scripture says, but David found his strength in God. And Jonathan was a part of that. Who's your Jonathan? And who are you going to be a Jonathan to this year? Paul says, pray for me. The Apostle Paul, the most gifted person the church has ever seen after Jesus. Pray for me. That I may not be scared. Okay, that's a very loose paraphrase. Pray that I may declare the gospel fearlessly, that I may declare the gospel with boldness. Because if you don't pray for me, it just will not be the same. It's a choice. Are we going to do it? Or are we not going to do it? Is it an interesting sermon, Alistair? Or is it a sermon to apply? Let's make it a sermon to apply. And let's find strength in the Lord our God. He is with us. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. So we can be confident that he that is in us is greater than him that is in the world. We can be confident that the light came and the darkness will never extinguish it. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your promises. We thank you that you've given us everything to live a life that's pleasing to you. And we pray for our worship in 2020. And we pray for our prayer life. Because we will find strength in our worship together. And we will find strength in our fellowship together. And we will find strength in our praying together. But we will also find strength in the secret place as we open our Bibles and we pray to you. So, Lord, would you impart more grace to us at the beginning of this year. In Jesus' name, amen.